Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our ladies here in the house of God. Can the men put their hands together, their children put their hands together and give the Lord a praise? We are thankful. I've said this before, that someone once said that no man is poor who has ever had a godly mother. And I'm thankful that I had one as well. She is now in the presence of the Lord. I realize that this morning, Mother's Day, is a very exciting moment for many, as it should be, rightfully so. It's a time that we get a chance to honor you and just thank God for you. I need to have to admit to you, as I always do every Mother's Day, and it doesn't seem to get any easier. These are probably one of the most difficult services that I have the privilege of conducting or officiating. For the simple fact, not because I'm not prepared or because I've not done this for the close to past 40 years of my life, but it's always very difficult, at least for me, to find words that would really come to accentuate or to embellish or to make prettier or more valuable what our mothers already are. It's hard to put words that will, again, increase the value of someone who, just simply called a mother, is already priceless in our lives and in the eyes of the Lord as well. So if I seem a little short this morning as well in having the ability to explain myself, you'll know that it's because of you. It's because of you, because you're that special, and that as a son myself, it's always been difficult to look a mom straight in the eye and say you are beautiful and you are wonderful without getting emotional because of what you feel for who she really is. I could take all this morning and a few more other mornings and just to explain or to bring detail to what exactly a mom is to each one of us, husbands and sons and daughters. All the way from nurturing us, from loving us, from being patient with us, from correcting us, to hugging us and kissing us and speaking words of encouragement and praying for us, crying out for us and being frustrated with us but still loving us. And all these things, we could keep going. We could have a list of people come up here and not one of us would finish the list of the acknowledgments and how treasured you really are. But I will do my best today to share something of value, instructive to your word from the Word of God, to your heart from the Word of God. We pray always that the Lord might grant you a wonderful day, that you might be honored and loved and encouraged by all of those who are around you today. I want to speak to you today on the subject of a woman after his own heart. You know, it's been our objective here at Rock of Ages, our purpose, to always do what we can with the single purpose of producing unto the Lord godly people. That is our main focus here at Rock of Ages. We're not here for any other reason but to give Him glory, to give Him praise, amen. But also to do everything we can from this pulpit and from every teaching pulpit across every room here in this venue, in this sanctuary, to instruct you, to give you words of confidence, encouragement, and sometimes even rebuke, correction, all with the sole purpose, bathe in love, these words should and will always be, for producing people unto the Lord, a godly offspring the Bible speaks to us about. When God speaks to us about giving a husband and wife children, he does it making us responsible. That He didn't only give us this reward called children or this husband that helped me to you and support of you just because. But His desire is that in the midst of Him giving these gifts to us, we do everything and spend every effort that we can to be able to establish ourselves as an agreeable people for God. We are in a training field here at Rock of Ages. This is not some elite club or Lions club or social club just for say, but it's a training ground for us to learn how to better love Him, to better serve Him, to better worship Him, to be a people agreeable to Him. And so every service and every opportunity that God gives me and gives us all, we should do everything we can to instruct ourselves and to help ourselves, encourage ourselves on how to better fit in God's plans. This morning, I want to use a scripture that I've used many times on this altar years before and will continue so until he tarries and returns. Out of 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Now, I know that this passage may sound out of context for you because this passage was really describing the life of Saul and speaking of the future King David. But these words are what I want to base my conversation on with you this morning, because I believe that today not only is God looking for a man after his own heart, but God is looking for a woman after his own heart as well. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 14 says, "But now your kingdom will not endure." Of course, this is for Saul after his disobedience. "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." It's these words that I want to focus on this morning. Would you put your hand over your heart this morning as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We place our hands over our hearts, Lord, as a sign of surrender. And we ask you that in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, you would speak to our hearts, Father, both men and women. We realize it's Mother's Day, Lord, but let this word, Father God, speak to all of us. And Father, help us to understand that, Lord, you love us and that your desire is to be close to us always. So, Father, today I open my heart that you might speak through me and you would speak to me. Help us to know what it is, Lord, what identifies us, what will identify us as a people according to your own heart. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says, amen. There are reasons why God is looking for godly women and for godly men. I'll mention men along the way, but we know it's Mother's Day. There are reasons, very important reasons, why the Lord continues to search across the world, wide, everywhere, looking for someone who will surrender their heart in the likeness of God. Why a woman that serves the Lord? Knowingly or not, it's because he desires you to participate in his plans for these last days. He desires that you be part of the momentum in reaching out to those around us for the sake of the gospel. He has given you very important boundaries, from the boundaries of your home all the way now to the boundaries of the world. God has given women a voice to speak. Very important voices that the Bible tells us we should never ignore, but that we should listen to, especially sons and daughters. This is why the Lord sought in that day. He sought for men like Abraham, Moses, and Joshua, and David. But in the same scripture, we learn that he also searched for Ruth and Deborah and Hannah and Mary. Very important, crucial women in the life of believers all the way around. And this is why he searches for us and for you today. It's not a very easy thing to find someone after God's own heart. It's been difficult now, and it was difficult back then. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, "But now your kingdom will not endure." He goes on, "The Lord has sought a man after his own heart." Now, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 22, the scripture says, "I looked for a man among them who would build a wall and stand before the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it." There is great purpose in God trying to find someone after his own heart. He said, "But I found none." So that'll tell you that this task of finding someone after God's own heart is not an easy thing, even unto the Lord. He said, "I looked everywhere, trying to find someone after my own heart." He had found David, of course, in the scripture we just read. But the Lord continues to search for more, those who will stand between him and the earth so that he wouldn't have to destroy and bring rightful judgment. He said, "But I couldn't find anybody." And just like he did then, so he does today. He continues in his quest to find both men and women after his own heart. Women who will represent him. A woman who will not hesitate to demonstrate the greatness of God and to speak of the salvation for the souls of men on behalf of God. And so today we are posed with a question. Every one of us, as we step into this conversation, this is what we want to ask ourselves, both men and women, this morning. Has God found, or will God find today in your heart, a heart after His? Can we examine, show a little introspection this morning inside of every one of us? Can we say of ourselves, in my heart is a heart after God's heart, in the likeness of God, a heart that is agreeable to Him. Now, the reason we're having this conversation this morning is because when we ask that question, we must first know what a heart after God looks like. And this is what we intend to search for this morning in the Scriptures. The first thing I find that will identify a heart after God's own heart is the level of devotion. Devotion is very important to God in Scripture and should be to all of us. This is the first, probably one of the first and most important characteristics of a woman after the heart of God. That is the measure of her devotion to the Lord. The question is she totally committed to her relationship with God? Now, in this world, we know for a fact that many things call upon women today. So many things outside of us. In society today, there are many priorities in life. We hear many voices. When we look at the lives of both men and women, we find that they share similar goals in life. A better business, more finances, greater position, greater education, better possessions, moving up on life. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. To have aspirations in life, after all, we have been called to be blessed in this world that God has provided for us. We have been called to pursue the great things and good things of life. Everything that God has created, He has created for our benefit. So it's a good thing to pursue these things, every one of us. But the main question God would have for us all is this. What is your main objective in life? Where is your main passion? Where is your main motivation? While all the aspirations you may have in life may be good, still, when it concerns to eternity, when it concerns to God, everything else in life, in the heart of God, in the eyes of God, must be second to the more important. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, with every faculty of our existence." God is saying it must be first, that your main objective, your main motivation, your main devotion is found in God. Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross." What this speaks of is your main priority. He speaks of your main place of devotion. God's looks are for our hearts, and He looks to be in our hearts second to none. Having the heart of God is so awesomely demonstrated in this passage I'm going to read to you this morning out of Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It's concerning two sisters. You may have read this passage before, but let's read it together. As Jesus and His disciples, Luke 10 and 38, were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha, distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, she came to Him. That is, she came to Jesus, the guest of the house. He said, "Lord," are you paying attention to what's going on here? He said, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? You know, here I am running back and forth. I've been mopping, cleaning, washing the dishes, doing everything. And what is she doing? The Bible says that once she laid her eyes on the face of Christ, she recognized her Lord and quickly fell to his feet and began to worship him. Jesus was sitting down and there was Mary doing nothing. And so Martha goes, Lord, she's wasting time. I'm exhausted. We have a guest in the house and she hasn't even fixed the couches. She's done nothing. Now you would expect the Lord to maybe bring some kind of rebuke to Mary and say, get up, go help your sister. But that's not what he said at all. He teaches priority in this passage. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about a lot of things. You're such a busybody. You're always chasing after things. You're doing something all the time. You're so busy. You know you have responsibilities and you're attending to all of them, but you lack discernment. Of all the things you do, though being important, there's still something that is greater. He said, Mary has chosen what is better. Mary has chosen what is priority, and it will not be taken away from her. That is, I'm not going to tell her to stop worshiping me, because that is the whole duty of mankind. Ladies, in this world we live in, there are a million things that you do, I know. You know, it used to be back in the day when I was a kid, and that was a while back. Pastors used to visit the house. Anybody remember those days? Am I the only old guy here? Come on. Some of you are just faking it, I know. Anybody remember when the pastor used to go to the house? Yeah, yeah. When I was a kid, the pastor, my mom's pastor would come to the house to visit and pray for the house and do all these things. And if you ask the question, why did they go? Well, you know, I've been asked before, Pastor, do you visit homes and stuff? I'll answer that in a second. But you'll say, why did he go visit people in the past at their homes? And the answer is really divine and theological and deep, because there was somebody there. There was somebody at home to visit. My mom was there. She was a home wife. She was a mom that stayed, a stay-home mom. She took care of us when we were little kids. And my dad went off to work, and the rest of us who were growing old would work. But she was at home all the time, so the pastor had someone to visit. Now, to answer the question, do I visit today? Who do I visit? Seldom and far in between will you find a lady who is at home. Everybody works. Amen? I take a gander and would ask all the women that work to raise their hand, but I'm afraid it'll be a great percentage because all of us work. In this world today, the demand or the desire is to work. Why? Again, because your aspirations are big. You want other things. You want a better car. You want and if it's expensive, everything else, you know that a two-income household is a lot better, and that's okay. And God doesn't have a problem with that. There are certain losses that we suffer when moms work, and that's another sermon altogether. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, ladies, that's okay if you're busy on the day and you have a job, and let it be you're someone important in the corporate field and world. But what God is concerned about when it comes to us is the priority. What is it that you are most devoted to? Mary and Martha show us two distinct worlds that women live in. Those who are busybodies. And I'm sure that wasn't the first time that maybe Mary sat down, or that she was always sitting down doing nothing. Doesn't speak to her as a lazy person. But she knew automatically that when Jesus showed up, he became her priority. And so, moms, this morning, to have a heart after God, we must make sure that out of everything that we do in life, Jesus maintains himself at the top. His desire is that he be the main passion and object of devotion in your life. Mary had chosen the best of all goals in her life, the best of all inspirations. And Jesus said, don't distract her from it. I know that you are ambitious in life. You have ambitions in life and aspirations, and it's not a bad thing to have these goals, as I said. But God desires to see that in your heart, your devotion is for Him. You know, we have testimony after testimony today of women who are of great renown. They are known because of great exploits they've done in the sports field, in the in academics and teachings, in the corporate world, running businesses and making all kinds of monies and every kind of company successful. Women who leave behind a great testimony. And that's fine. And maybe you have an aspiration, ma'am, today to become the manager of the company you're at, or to have a better bank account and build a better home and all these things along together with your husband. That's a beautiful thing. But what God cares about is where your devotion is. A woman after God's own heart always has her devotion toward God at the top. Nothing gets in the way, not even cleaning up like Martha was. Not even the things that are around her that we're calling even upon her responsibility. Sometimes even the things that we're responsible for have to wait because Jesus showed up. When Jesus shows up, everything is downhill from there. Jesus remains at the top. Can you say amen? That's what God is looking for in a woman today. The second thing, what describes a woman after God's own heart is a woman with a servant's heart. A servant's heart. To obtain the heart of Christ, we must embrace then the attitude and the purpose of Christ Himself. The Bible says in Matthew 20 and 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Again, I say to you that in this world, there is great attention for women accomplishing great things in life. There are a lot of boss ladies out there. And rightfully earned, because they've studied, they are academically prepared, and they're able to manage, they're able to lead, they're able to do. And that grows upon an individual. That leadership skill that they have is always telling someone to do something, and it's always in the best interest of success. And I understand all that. That's a beautiful thing. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the inheritance of us in heaven, when it comes to serving the Lord, there is something greater than telling someone something to do. And that is exposing a servant's heart. To receive glory from the Father, then the criteria changes. To recognize and receive praises from God, then we must obtain not greater talents, not greater gifts, not greater abilities, but we must obtain the attitude of servanthood. To receive greatness in heaven, the scripture teaches us, in the eyes of the Father, then to become the greatest, you may become the less. It doesn't sit well with the go-getters in life. It really doesn't. Matthew 20 and 25 says this, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. You may be wearing a badge that says you are the president. You may be wearing the shawl that says that you are the leader. You may have a name on your badge on your shirt or on the back of your shirt that says you lead. And that's wonderful. That's a beautiful thing. Great. You accomplished something great. But when it comes to God and to inheriting something from the Lord, that attitude of leadership should never be against one another in believers. There's an attitude of servanthood that is demanded of all of us. We know that Jesus, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, that Him being God Himself, He didn't consider that something to grab onto so that He might lord over us in a demeaning way. But the Bible says He surrendered that as a servant and became obedient even unto death, and death on a cross. It's to come in the church that there is no sense of entitlement that you do for me and that's it. As your pastor, I don't lord over you do what I tell you or else. No. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. I've spent many hours serving you willingly with a desire of my heart. This is why I'm here. And this is why you are here. The Bible tells us that. That greatness comes to us from the Lord depending on the level of our servanthood. Did you know the Bible teaches us? You know, the Bible says that the Lord was given the highest name that would be praised, and every knee should bow and every tongue would confess. That's right? Right? That's what the Bible says concerning Christ. But you know what was one of the culprits or one of the reasons or the criteria of that exaltation? It was servanthood. If you read the scriptures in Philippians, I believe chapter 2, you'll find that the Bible says that he became a servant. And says, therefore, then God gave him a name above every other name. Amen? It's not about stepping on somebody's back or shoulders to climb up higher and suppressing them. There are a lot of people who live that way. A lot of people. But they'll never be great in God. The greatest in the kingdom will be the less. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So it's a servant's heart to serve and to care for others. When you do that, you reveal the attitude of Christ. Philippians 2 and 4 says, each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. Metaphorically, we have Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He describes his ministry as a mother taking care of her little children. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 6. The apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. That is, we were apostles and you're not. We walked with him personally and you haven't. We had every right to be boastful and proud and arrogant and lord over you guys as if we were somebody. We have the proof. We know him personally. We have dinner with him and the campfires. He shares intimate things with us. We know him. We have every right to walk with our chins up and our nose straight up in the air. He said, but that wasn't it. That's not what we did, Paul said. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We love you so much that we were delighted to share with you, not only you, the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Not only were we willing to share the truth of Jesus, but we were willing to lay our own lives for you because you are so dear to us. That is a servant's heart. A heart after God's own heart is a servant's heart. When you ladies find a hurting sister and you pray for her, you're revealing the heart of God. When you find someone who is hurting and you speak words of encouragement to them to carry on, you reveal the Savior's heart. When someone at church or at home or wherever you may be may find themselves in a situation that they cannot get out, but you're there to rescue them and to help them, to empathize with them, you reveal the heart of God. A servant's heart. Number three, this is very important. A woman after God's own heart is a woman who understands the importance of what she teaches. I want you to think about that for a second. A woman after God's own heart cares and considers it important to take note of what her life teaches to others. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, listen, my son. Listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Pay attention to what your mother is teaching you, he tells the rest of us. And I believe as we are called to pay attention to the mother's teaching, the mother also has an obligation to know what it is she's teaching with her life. Proverbs 31 says, We read about this woman of noble character and how precious she is. We've all read that passage. But the Bible says of her in Proverbs 31 and 26, she speaks with wisdom And faithful instruction is on her tongue. That means that she's aware that everything she says and everything she does and how she conducts herself is important to everyone around. There are great ripple effects. There are great effects to what she teaches with her life. Now, the question is this. Where is the mother's podium? Where is the highest platform a mother holds? Where is it that she mainly teaches? Is it not her home? It's her home. Ladies, your home is the highest pulpit for all of your children. And even I submit and suggest to you that maybe us as husbands, we listen and we see what you teach as well. It's important for us in that area as well that you watch what it is that you teach. There is no other place more important in your life to recognize what it is that you are teaching. There is no other place in this world that is more important that you watch what you're teaching as it is in our homes with our children. The audience that you have at home, you have the opportunity to help them get a grip on their futures. You can change a generation with what you teach in your home. In your home, you will either instruct and teach believers, or you will raise unbelievers. In your home, you will teach those with you to learn godly traits or not. They will learn the history of your God, that is the Word of God, and know who He is through your teaching, or they will never know His name. In your home, they will learn of His majesty, His glory, and His power. Or will you let them seek power and glory elsewhere outside of God? You will teach them to worship God, or you will teach them to worship things. A mother with a heart after God gets her value from her recognizing that her life teaches a lot to those whom you are given responsibility over. That's a heart after God. And now this order to train our children isn't something that we just came up with. Isn't something that we just decided it's a good thing. You better start watching what you're teaching your children. This has been the law since the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 6. These commandments that I give you, says the Lord, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. It's all talking about education. It's talking about what we teach with our lives, men and women. Your kids will worship God the way you do. This is why when we dedicate babies up here, the young parents or the parents will come of the child, and I say to them and give them a charge in the presence of the Lord, and I say, this baby that you hold in your hand is as soft as clay in your hand. You can manipulate him. You can form him. And you have that responsibility right now to form that child in your arms. And what you do with him is going to be your responsibility. You see, the fact of the matter, let me give us all this, parents, not only us, but the world altogether. We blame the young society today for being crazy and wild. Oh, these kids today, man, I'm telling you, they're all devils. I'm telling you, they're running, going down a slippery pipe on their way to hell because of all the evil they have. Well, who taught them any different? Okay. Nobody said amen. Amen? These kids are horrible, man. Look at them. What they do, the practicing they do. You're out at all hours and look at all the drugs and look at all this thing. And we can condemn them all we want. But what were they taught in church? At home? Now, I understand that you may have done all you could. At the end, they grew up and they decided to go wayward. God will deal with that. But I'm speaking to that opportunity that we have to teach our children. This is why we were told, commanded to train a child in his way. So when he grows up, he would not stray. Amen? So we pay attention to what we teach. We've been told since the beginning of time to impress godly traits into our children. You can't get angry at the world because you have an alcoholic for a son. You cannot get angry at the world because you have a drug addict as a son. You cannot get first mad at the world because you have this type of child. You have to go back and retrospect and look inside and say, well, did I teach them any different? Was I praying with them? Did I teach them how to love God? Did I teach them how to pray? This is the importance of parenting, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I will not excuse not talking about these conversations, because I care about your family. You can't pass the buck so easily like that anymore. We used to believe you. Not anymore. People in the world altogether knows. You've got unbelievers saying, hey, parents, when you see kids running crazy, protesting and doing all these crazy things, you know what the main question is asked over television? Where are the parents? Even they, the unbelievers, know that there has been a lack of parenting at home. And it all comes to this. A woman, a man after God's own heart, cares about what his life is teaching his offspring. Malachi chapter 2, the Bible teaches us concerning the young husbands and wives who have children, that God gave you this with great responsibility because God is expecting godly offspring. So she cares about what she teaches. For the father, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Think of that for a moment. Think about Roman soldiers' day. When a man raises his sons right, he'll go and see his enemy, and he's got five or six guys with him, his sons. Says he won't be ashamed in the face of his enemies. Why? I got my boys. I raised them. They're just like me. For the mother, Proverbs 31 and 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She is confident about the future. Her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. She is vigilant over the activities of her household. She doesn't eat the food of laziness. See, a mother who has been training her children doesn't worry about the future. She doesn't worry about her tomorrow. Why? Because she spent her time in kindly and godly teaching and speaking words of confidence and growth and maturity to the hearts of her children. You don't care. You don't worry about it. The Bible says she's not even afraid when the snow comes. She's not afraid of these things. Why? Because she has children. She's raised. She's taught everything. She's paid attention to what her life teaches. A woman after God's own heart is a woman who builds her home, constructs her home, makes her house a home. Proverbs 14 and 1, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Look at the testimony of Rachel and Leah, and Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses, and may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. What a testimony. What a testimony that someone would look at the house or our homes and say, man, in that house lives a lady, a wife, a mother, who spends her time building her home, making sure that her home, that house is not necessarily just a house, but a home. Proverbs 31 of this woman, the Bible says, verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What does this mean to us? What does it mean to the ladies? What does it mean to us as men? When someone is a builder of their home, that means that they pay attention to the important things of home. Everything you select, you diligently select for the betterment of your home. You don't allow things to come into your home that are going to destroy it. You don't allow things that come into your house that are going to destroy your children. Everything that comes through your door, you walk in and you look at that. What is that? Where's that going? Inside my house? That stuff is not coming in my house. Come on, Mom. That house, that thing is not coming in my house. This is not conducive to what we want to do at home. The husband comes home or anyone wants to bring something foreign, you look at it at the door and say, where are you taking that? We're taking it to the living room, not in my house. No. Now you can take it anywhere you want, throw in the trash if you want, but it's not coming in my house. I'm a home builder, not a home destroyer. How we need that kind of mother these days to build the home. Listen to what it says when you build a good home. Matthew 7 and 24. Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus states that those who hear his words and do them are wise builders. They have built their homes on solid, rock solid foundations. The winds howl, the rains come. Even a flood comes, but the house stands firm. When you pay attention to building your home, you're building on a strong foundation that when the troubles of life come, ladies and gentlemen, has anybody ever had troubles in your home? Or is it just me? Can I have a show of hands? Those of you that didn't raise your hands, we're going to pray. Because you need to flavor life for real. Some of us have had real challenges in our home. Can you say amen? Let it be financial, let it be physical, let it be spiritual, let it be social, let it be whatever. But we've had storms in our lives. And sadly enough, you'll find out that we have testimony after testimony in this world that storms have come into homes and the house has disintegrated. The family falls apart. But the Bible says here, that if you listen to God's word and you apply God's word and you are careful to how you build your home and build it on solid foundation, regardless of what comes your way, let it be through a difficult sickness, let it be through a time of drought and lack, let it be through a time of frustration, of for whatever reason it may come, the home will still remain firm. But the Bible says that there's two kinds of builders. The Bible says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. There's another builder. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, it fell with a great crash. And so a woman after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart is going to be someone who cares about how they build their home. So let's start paying attention to that. Let's watch what we're teaching our children. Let's make sure that while it's not too late to build our children in the ways of the Lord, build our home. A woman after God's own heart also seeks personal growth. Personal growth. That is, you always continue to do everything you can to mature in your walk with God. I told the church this morning, I said, it's a beautiful thing to be saved. Amen? I said, it's a beautiful thing to be saved. It is. And not because we want to add anything to salvation, because that is all a gift by itself that stands alone, yes. But there is something we can beautify salvation with. And you know what that is? Growth. Maturity. One thing is to be saved, and it's a beautiful thing. But it's another thing to be saved and grown up in Christ. It's so important that we mature in the Lord. The Bible says of Jesus himself in Luke 2 and 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Again, we go to the woman in Proverbs 31. That woman of noble character who could find. We find and we hear testimony. It's a long passage. You should read that chapter. You'll find that woman has a phenomenal testimony. And how she did things, how she was not lazy, she was not idle, the way she spoke, the things she taught, all this great testimony in chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs, we find these things. But if you look at that and contemplate, where did she get all these capabilities? Where does she strengthen herself in doing, being a good wife and being a good teacher, a good mother, being a good provider, being articulate and showing good craft talent, all these things that she is. It speaks beautifully of her. This is why it says, who could find? It's hard to find. So what do we attribute all that greatness from? Well, I believe at least one thing, it may not be all the only thing, but certainly one thing is that she was mature. She grew up in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that the depth of our relationship with God and the maturity will enable us to be victorious in everything we do in life. You'll become an excellent mom as you mature in Christ. What used to get you all bent out of shape before, you get frustrated. As you mature in the Lord, patience comes in and wisdom comes in. The choices you used to make flippantly while you were younger in the Lord, you really didn't know how to articulate what you were going to do. But all of a sudden you've matured, and now the decisions you make are godly and mature. It's a great blessing for the house to have a mature Christian mother, not a childish, saved mother. It's an awesome thing to have a mature Christian husband, because he knows what to do. And he always thinks with the mind of Christ. A woman always thinks with the mind of Christ. Paul said of himself, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. He said, this is why I'm suffering as I am. He said, yet I'm not ashamed. Hear the key words. Because I know in whom I have believed. That could preach all by itself. That's another sermon in itself. I know who it is that I'm trusting. I know. When you get saved, you really don't know that much about Jesus. All you know is that you felt His grace in your life. So many testimonies. I felt something leave me. The burdens of my sin. I felt forgiven. I felt refreshed. All these beautiful things that God allows us to feel when we accept Jesus. But you really don't know Him in detail. But when you seek after Him, you begin to mature in Him. You begin to relate to Him. You become intimate with Him. Now you know how He thinks. That's a beautiful thing. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, you know, I'm going through this tough time right now. I'm in jail right now. And I'm hurting right now, Timothy. But don't worry for me. You know why? Because I know Him. I know Him. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. All I know is that I know Him. You're talking to a grown-up man. I know Him face to face. I've done everything that I can to learn of Him. I've listened to Him. I've watched Him. I've sought Him out. I've taken time. How do you get to know God if not through prayer? We're encouraged in the book of Jude, chapter 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray. That's how you get to know God, to commune with Him on a daily basis. Not to simply set your request before God, though all that's admissible, and that's we are invited to present our request to God. But sometimes it's better to just sit there and talk to Him, that He might be able to convey His heart to you. How do we get to know God? By reading His Word. By reading His Word, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, in this case the woman of God as well, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we find, ladies and gentlemen, that our success in our lives comes from us knowing God in the deepest way. Don't be satisfied. Yes, be thankful we're saved. And should Jesus come, we'll go to heaven. Thank you, Lord. But while we are still here, it will be a great benefit that we know Him personally with greater depth. You see, when you know who He is, no one will be able to fool you trying to make Him who He's not. You know why there's so much confusion today in religious cults and circles, and you've got them all over social media now. They're accepting all kinds of things. You've got teachers. Yeah, Paul Washer is a preacher that sometimes I listen to. He's a purist. He really is a difficult guy. He You think I'm tough sometimes. But they asked him a question in a council of many. And he was sitting there and they asked, they said, Pastor, what is the most dangerous thing in the church today? What is the greatest thing to fear in the church today? And you would assume, well, you know, there's a lot of the social media is ugly. No, no. He quickly answered, pastors. Think about that. What is the most dangerous thing in the church today? And he said, pastors. Why would he say that? Because it's true. You've got so many philosophies and ideas and doctrines of devils on the pulpit today. They've gone so wayward now in their thinking and imaginations that now, all for the sake of drawing a population, a crowd, to feel that celebrity entity deep within, that itch to be praised, now they'll come out with such creative things that it's completely off basis in Scripture. I'm not offended. You can say amen. I know I'm a pastor. But when you mature in God, the reason people like that are led astray, who'll sit in front of a pulpit like this while this man is standing up there, or this woman is standing up there lying to you concerning Christ, and some trying to prove to you and proving to you who he is not in Scripture, it's the lack of maturity in the church. Those are people who don't read the Word. Because if you read the Word, you'll know the truth. And whatever the man is speaking from the pulpit, if it doesn't match up with what you're reading, you need to get up from that place and get out. Get out. If someone is bold enough to speak to your soul, just junk that comes out to his creative mind, you need to be smart enough to look at God's Word and know that what he is saying matches with his truth. If it doesn't, ladies and gentlemen, you are risking hell for you and your family. It's that serious. Maturity. We need to grow up in the Lord. And you'll do it by praying and by reading God's Word. Can I say this one last thing, just because I want to give credit this morning to every one of you ladies and all the ladies in the house that are so wonderful at helping and working in the kingdom here at Rock of Ages. A woman after God's own heart is one who is diligent to her appointment and service to God. That is a woman who is always constant working in the kingdom, doing the work of the kingdom. The Bible says in John chapter 4 of Jesus, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's diligence. That's diligence. That's commitment to work in the kingdom. And with that, I want to say this morning, I'm so thankful for all the ladies here at Rock of Ages who serve in ministry. It was years ago when my wife and I started, and we got here 30 years ago, that obviously as new and didn't know how everything functioned, sometimes we'd worry, not because there were not willing, able people during that time, but we were always nervous that we would find someone to help us if we had a special event or activity. And so here we were, and our kids, and trying to find anybody we could to help us in a potluck or help us in some celebration we had. And here we were both serving. Some of you who have been here with us that long may remember we're always there serving people, and because, you know, help is hard to find. But I'm so thankful that after these years, ladies and gentlemen, for all of you ladies, there has not been for years now one time that I've had to worry about who it is that's going to help get something done in the church. We come now, my wife and I, to find a list of women, and both men as well, serving, and without even getting an invitation, just coming up and looking that there's a spot, and you go out there and you take your place and you begin to serve people. That's such a beautiful thing. I'm thankful that here at Rock of Ages we have ladies and teachers, children's church, and all the pulpiteers that we have that are ladies here. And I thank you so much for you make Rock of Ages shine. We have worship singers, all girls, serving, singing, and doing kingdom work. That's a beautiful thing. I honor you today. And then you have the secret heroes. Those of you who don't have pulpits here. Those of you who don't sing on the worship team. Those of you who hardly make a sound. But at the moment something's happening, there you go. You sneak in to put your hands on the plow. And you begin to work as well alongside your brother or your sister. I want to honor you today in the presence of the Lord. And I want to thank you for your service and for your willingness to serve in the kingdom. A woman after God's heart never, ever neglects her appointment to work for God. We've got ushers, we've got greeters, women's ministry, we've got decorators, we've got everything that we need here, all women by majority. And we're so thankful for that. We honor you today. We're so thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you make us work, that you make us function. Sometimes us as men, as creative as we may be, we don't have that touch that you guys have. All this decoration, certainly were not done by me, Duke, and DJ, Santiago. We would have put cactus up here. Hey, I don't know what. Yeah, but we've got ladies. And you bring that warmth to the house of God. You bring that warmth. A lady's touch is always so warm in the house of God. All these flower arrangements. Sister Claudia, we honor you. And we thank you for the good work that you do. She's got a group of ladies that work with her so willingly. She says, Pastor, I've got sister so-and-so said she would work with me. She's going to, that's a beautiful thing. They all work hard. Those beautiful, what do you call those things? Brooches or crochet? What do you call those things? What do you call that on your chest, sister? Corsage? There you go. You see? Those are all handmade. You better not go throw them away. You know, we have the sisters here that work hard to put this thing there, and they look so beautiful on you. Can the men say amen? Look so beautiful on you, yes. And so the point I'm trying to make as I close this morning, we are thankful for you. We really are. It's hard to have a heart after God in this difficult world, but it's not impossible. And you're doing a great job because of the qualities that I spoke this morning. I know they exist here in the house. I know that you're doing everything you can to possess a life of prayer. Start paying attention to who it is, what it is you're teaching with your own life. Start training your children in the ways of the Lord. I told the church this morning, I said, men, admit it or not, many of us are still saved because we have you. Many of us are coming to church more fluidly and more frequently because of you. I know we walk out like I'm the man of the house and when she's not home and all these things. But she helps us. You are a good help. Rightfully so, the Lord said, a suitable helper. And I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all you ladies who encourage us as men to continue serving the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.